over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a course, a series, The Father Heart of God, and looking at God's character. And it's a wonderful opportunity just to drill into and dig into God's love and God's heart and God's intentions towards us as his children. Isn't it incredible? I'm just amazed that God, in his word, reveals himself not as a tyrant, not as somebody who is unapproachable in one sense, but as a father. And he has got incredible and plans and intentions towards us. And it's such a privilege to be a child of God. It really is. And so I'm thrilled that we can spend this time to meditate upon and dig into God's heart towards us. Jonathan's going to kick off this morning with No Longer Orphans. So looking at that whole subject, and I'm just going to hand over to him. So thank you for being with us again.
Thank you very much. It's been a great time with you. Arrived on Friday evening, and it's been wonderful. Bit of time with Steve on Saturday morning, the elders Saturday afternoon, dinner Saturday night. Lovely. Lovely salsa. Lovely veggie burgers. As a church, we're on a Daniel fast for 21 days. Anybody that knows me, I can move. Anybody that knows me knows I like my food. But we're having a time of prayer and fasting, a different type of fast. And on a Daniel fast, which means we only eat fruit and vegetables, and we really only drink water or fruit tea or something like that. So thank you for my hosts, Ali and Sarah, for looking after me, because, who wants to get an email saying, your guest is coming and they're not eating what normal people eat? Yes. But it's a good time for us as a church family just to unite together, to seek God together. And great, as I said, to be here today. It's great to be back in Horsham. I'm hoping to come back in sunny weather. But it's been great that maybe, I think this time last year, Ewan and Karen came, and I popped over, and Chris and Carol have been over Staples, and Matt and the team, I think, have been over as well and just about got back. But and I just want to take a moment, because elders are called to serve the flock. So you do know when we sent the little youth team here, their flight was cancelled and they had to go to Liverpool to get home. And Steve drove them in the minibus all the way to Liverpool. So that's the servant's heart of what you want your leaders to be like. Not looking for the platform, not seeking attention, not it being all about them, but actually being all about God, yeah? So can you hear me okay? Okay, that's super. Well, as Steve said, great to start this message on the Father heart of God. And I'm really confident over the next 4 weeks, God is going to do something in all of your hearts. It's a message the church need to hear time and time again. And back in October time, we were all in South Africa together for the 412 team time. And Africa is one of my favorite nations to go to, isn't it? Yes. Especially when it's sunny. But as much as it's one of my favorite nations, we just go to the next slide there. One of the challenges that really breaks my heart in Africa is the amount of orphans. And there's so many orphans, I suppose, all over sub-Saharan Africa, particularly. But in South Africa as well, there's so many orphans because so many family members have sadly died because of AIDS. And there's a church which is part of the 412 field called Crossways Church. It's just outside a town called East London. We went there for a week's holiday, but I ended up preaching on the Sunday morning as well. And Jonathan and Tracy Keane lead that church. But as well as leading the church, they lead a few social projects. And one of those social projects is a home for orphans. And they have, at any one time, up to 20 baby to 3-year-olds in this particular home. They've had 100 babies through their home over the last few years. And I think the little girl that my wife Annette is holding there, she has just recently been adopted by one of the church families. And it's great to see so many church families stepping up to adopt these children. Sadly, when we were there, a little boy called Eli, little baby boy, just a couple of months old, the hospital phoned up and said, he has a congenital heart condition. We won't do anything for him. Will you take him to die? And that was heartbreaking, you know, because we were there with him for a week, and is he going to die this afternoon? And just morning, noon, and night, they just nursed this little boy. And so, you know, sometimes they get the children because of their parents have died and their grandparents aren't able to look after them. They've had babies found in plastic bags at the side of the road, babies left on the doorstep as well. It's heartbreaking, but it's great to see what God is doing in the midst of that. But the orphan situation is heartbreaking. And these children grew up with their own fair share of issues. And sometimes, no matter how well they have been parented, for some reason, this trauma of abandonment and not having been fathered or parented, even for a short period of time, seems to just follow them throughout the remainder of their lives. And sometimes they can go into the best of homes. Like, for instance, my sister-in-law, they've adopted two little children, one from Kazakhstan and one from Russia. And even though Leah was adopted as a baby, she still has nightmares. You know, just they got her at a young age, and Vili, they got her at a young age as well. But she still has, like, the trauma of that abandonment. Even now, as a seven-year-old, in the middle of the night. But the truth is, the reason why I share that with you, the truth is that spiritually it's exactly the same, because I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but you and I have been made to be fathered by God. And you know, God wants us to live every single day living in the security of embracing His love. And God wants us to live every single day confident that we're living out of His love, and that we are His children. Can we read this verse together after 2? 1, 2. See what... Have we got it? the next slide. There we go. After 2. 1, 2. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And I probably should have you repeat, and that is what we are. Yeah, that is what we are. You know, God isn't make do, get by. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished upon us. If we just go to the next slide. But the challenge of today, and the challenge even of the early church, is that many of us have gone through life, or many of us go through life without actually having experienced fathering. That might be your story. And many of us go through life, even in church, without experiencing the fathering of God. Paul, even in his day, talked about this problem. He says, 1 Corinthians 4:15, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. You know, when God created mankind, He made us all in His image. And actually, that embraces both the masculine and the feminine. We need both. You know, the Bible describes God as like a mother hen. That's one of the images. You know, we're male and female together more perfectly, I think, represent the image of God. And in order to grow up healthily, we need both of those influences in our life. But actually, in today's world and today's church, often the biggest gap is the fathering gap. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I'm blown away in our congregations by how well so many single parents do. You know, people find themselves in that situation for a plethora of reasons, but I'm blown away in our congregations how well single parents do, that even though there may not be a dad or a mom in the family, or particularly a dad, you know, so many I see in our moms that they've introduced their children to the perfect father who's always present, always faithful, always committed, always loving. And not only is God is a husband to the widow, but he's a father to the fatherless. But the reality is that a society without fathers is actually a broken society. Let me just read you some statistics from the Center for Social Justice and UNICEF. They say that in single-parent families, children are 75% more likely to fail at school, 70% more likely to be a drug addict, 50% more likely to develop alcohol dependency, 40% more likely to have serious debt, 35% more likely to experience unemployment, and this is the one shocker, 70% of young offenders come from fatherless homes. And one faith group, actually in the UK, I think it was 2 years ago, who work in prisons, actually had this idea on mothers, running up to Mother's Day. Why don't we in this prison give all the prisoners the options of, we'll provide the cards, we'll provide the stamps, and we'll encourage the prisoners to contact their mums. And actually, without exception, every single prisoner sent a card. And it was so good, they said, why don't we do this for Father's Day? And not one prisoner took a card. So there's something broken in life and in society. And what most of us don't realize is that this has been Satan's tactic from the very beginning to ensure that humankind just don't experience the father heart of God. Because fathering is actually a spiritual problem. Satan seeks us to live like fatherless lives. Satan wants us to live like orphans. Or you could use the phrase the orphan spirit. Satan wants humankind to kind of have this orphan spirit over them, not knowing Father God, to go through their lives exhibiting brokenness everywhere, living apart from their heavenly Father. When God made Adam and Eve and they were placed in the garden, look what happened very, very quickly. Look what happened in the change in the relationship with God. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God, Genesis 2:8, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So Adam and Eve, because of their brokenness, because of sin in their lives, they hid themselves from the Father. Their sin and their shame and their guilt meant that they recoiled from the Father. They started to live under this orphan spirit, and that's how humankind has been living ever since. And so it's not surprising that as Jesus prepares, if we just move to the next slide, as Jesus prepares to leave his disciples and return to the Father, do you know what he says? I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Just to move to the next slide. As Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit not only so that you and I can be empowered for mission. He sent the Holy Spirit not only that we can live holy lives, but the reason why we need to be a church that fully embraces the Holy Spirit, as we just heard about the sponge, and I shared that with the elders yesterday, the reason we need to be a church that fully embrace the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that reconnects us to the Father heart of God. Romans 8:15, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, hiding, shame. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. I'm sure one of the elders will pick this up in the next few weeks. Abba is a little Aramaic word, which basically means daddy, papi. It's an intimate word. And the reason you and I need to embrace the Holy Spirit is if we have dead religion, it is God is watching us from a distance. Right? If you have dead religion, you know, if your Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures, God is watching us from a distance. But if you have a Trinitarian Father, Son, and Spirit, God pours His Spirit into your heart, Spirit of sonship, And that's why we need to embrace the Holy Spirit, because it's by the Spirit, that divine connection to the Father. The Father, heart of God, is reconnected. That's why we need to fully, not so that we do, well, it's good to shabba-dabba-do all the time, isn't it? But more importantly, we embrace the Spirit, and hopefully we'll just conclude by embracing the Holy Spirit and asking God's Spirit to fall on us afresh. If we embrace the Holy Spirit, it isn't dead religion. It isn't just ticking boxes. There's a reality by which you are my Father. Yeah. You're a good, good Father. So how does being fathered by God transform us? I've just got three or four little thoughts today. How does being fathered by God and embracing the Holy Spirit transform us from being orphans? Well, my dad is 78. He's still loving Jesus. He still loves the church. He's now battling with vascular dementia. But throughout my dad's life, he has been a great example of being a loving father. He lived his life, laid down his life for Jesus, laid down his life for the gospel. He's not perfect. No earthly father is perfect. But that's why we need to increasingly have that connection with our Heavenly Father. Right? No earthly father is perfect. But rather than focusing on all of their imperfections, our calling is to embrace the Spirit so that we could relate to God as Father. And I trust that, there'll be a little bit of a breakthrough for all of us today as we conclude. So I want to look briefly just at some of the ways we deepen our relationship with the Father when we leave this orphan mentality. And I want to just give you a little bit of an understanding, because it might give you a little bit of an awareness why your behavior is what it is. why you don't connect with people. Why you're always worried that God will provide or that he won't provide. Do you understand that? Because when we embrace God as Father, those things start to disappear. Why I'm so insecure. Why I can't rejoice when other people are doing well and I'm not. Because when we embrace God as Father, a few changes start to happen. We become confident in our identity rather than competing for our identity. Do you get that? So spiritual orphans, let me give you a few thoughts here. Spiritual orphans don't feel accepted, and they always need to try to prove their worth. So they may perceive the strength of others as competition. They might even secretly have satisfaction in the weaknesses of others. And they're always seeking attention because they're not confident in who they are. However, sons and daughters are able to embrace both their strengths and their weaknesses. And they're comfortable in who they are. If you're a son of God, a daughter of God, you're comfortable in your identity, who you are and whose you are. And as we heard this morning, God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. So if you're a son and daughter of God, you don't want to be like somebody else. You're happy that we're all different. The Father's made us all. My daughter, I've got four daughters, 18, 16, 12, and 7. They're all different. They all have their little unique personalities. I wouldn't want them to be competing with one another. And it's the same in the family of God. When we relate to God as Father, we become confident in our identity. And so what happens is that God offers us sonship, and in return, we offer him what? Servanthood. When you're confident in your identity, he offers us sonship and everything that goes with that inheritance, and we offer him servanthood. And you will know today that you are confident in your identity as a son or a daughter of God. Well, how will you know that? Well, when you can pick up a basin and a towel and serve others. That'll be the little litmus test. And you will, let me just tell you, here's the secret. Do you have a servant's heart? Let me just tell you this. You will know you have a servant's heart when, People treat you like a servant. He asked me to pick up. The pastor asked me to pick up rubbish. I mean, I can do more than that. But if you're confident in your identity as a son and a daughter of God, wow, how can I serve my Father? And I love that passage. It's probably the oldest hymn in the New Testament, probably the first ever written hymn in Philippians chapter 2. It's called the Carmen Christi, or the Hymn to Christ. Who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, became a servant, humbled himself, and became obedient to death on a cross. That's how a son lives. That's how a daughter lives. Jesus was confident in his identity. He does not consider equality as God with something to be grasped. Am I grasping for power? Am I grasping for recognition? Am I grasping for a title? You know, in John 13, the disciples wanted titles. Jesus offered towels. And the key in John 13, do you know what it says in John 13? All authority had been given. Is that right? It starts off, all authority. Jesus, all authority had been given to him. And then it goes on to say, he knew where he come from. He knew where he was going. And that's, the Father wants us to live in that security. That we know where we've come from. We know where we're going. I'm operating out of love. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm precious to him. I'm not feeling competitive. I'm not worried about what I'm being called to do. All of it's important. That's why we need to open up to the Father, heart of God. Let me give you another thought. You see, when you embrace that relationship with the Father, well, there's an increased sense of belonging rather than being bereft of family. You see, deep down inside the orphan, if you have an orphan spirit, if that's your battle, you struggle to belong to spiritual family. You suffer a sense of abandonment. And the instinct of the orphan is to go it alone. Is that how you do the Christian life? Do you find it difficult to plug in? Do you just kind of go alone and do your own thing? And sometimes this orphan spirit results in withdrawal physically or emotionally or spiritually from others. And actually, sometimes it's manifests itself in an attitude of independence. But sons and daughters embrace interdependence. Like this church is we are Living Hope with Porsche, with CLC, with Josh Jen, with other churches around the world. We're interdependent. We don't want to be independent. Do your own thing. Because that's what an orphan does. But we're part of a family. We're part of God's family. And we want to do things together, don't we? And so brothers and sisters just love being united, working together as family, working together as team. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. See, it gives God great pleasure when we plug in and live our lives together. It gives God great pleasure when as churches we partner together and do things together. This was his intention. You know, the Bible says that God puts the lonely in families. The church isn't an institution. It isn't an organization. The church isn't like a family. The church is a family. I watched YouTube the other night, and there was a lone wildebeest that had been taken down by a pride of lionesses. It was lionesses that had done the. And one of the lionesses had the wildebeest on the ground pinned and was just about to tuck into, you know, a meat feast. And suddenly this kind of herd of wildebeest came alongside, and one of them just came and dropped the horns into the lioness and flipped her about 20 feet into the air. wildebeest was rescued. But you know, the Bible says the devil prowls around like a lion, seeking those that he can devour. And that's the blessing of family. You see, Satan wants us to hide from God, to hide from the Father. Satan wants us to pull away from spiritual family. He'll use anything. You know, offense, they're not talking to me, they're not interested. I wasn't given this position, she was given that. I want to do this. You know, Satan will use anything to kind of ignite and add fuel to that orphan spirit. I'm going to be independent as opposed to belong to family. And again, I think just the opening, the crack open, it's about cracking open that relationship with the Father. When the relationship with the Father cracks open, then this bereftness starts to disappear, and then I have a desire to connect with family. Okay, thirdly, when we start embracing the Father heart of God as opposed to living as an orphan, I start to feel secure about my needs being met rather than being scared. You see, the spiritual orphan they're not secure about their place in the family. Orphans feel uncovered or unprotected. Some of the orphanages I've been into, when the food goes out, it's the kids don't just take for that one time. You know, they're hiding and storing and stashing food because there's no sense of security in them. Am I going to be provided for later? Does anybody care for me? And so in the life of the church, you know, somebody who has an orphan spirit, their insecurity means that they always need reassured by the leaders. Now, let me tell you, we want to encourage one another daily, don't we? We do, you know, we want to, there. But if we always find that we always need that, it's great to get it, and we should have a culture where we are encouraging. But if I find I'm one of those people that, oh my goodness, I mean, I served on kids ministry today and the pastor didn't personally thank me. I always need that reassurance. Maybe just a little sign of that brokenness in me, because Jesus played the audience of one, didn't he? He just listened for the Father's voice. It wasn't the crowds. This is my Son, whom I love. He was totally filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he had perfect relationship with the Father. Okay, in him I'm well pleased. Up the mountain, okay, that's good. Gethsemane, that's good. You know, every occasion. And you see, sons and daughters have nothing to fear. They're secure in the Father's love. They're secure in their place in the Father's family, and they can trust. When I'm living as a son and daughter, living in the love of God, operating out of the love of God, I still trust God when the circumstances change, right? When life throws me curveballs. If I'm living as a son, I'm living from a place of security. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs on your head are numbered. Fear not. You're more valuable than sparrows. When we went to South Africa this year, I took my two youngest daughters out of school for 3 weeks. The good news about the Isle of Man is we are allowed handguns and drive as fast as we want. And when you take your kids out of schools, you don't get a fine because we don't live in the nanny states, okay? That's just a rebuke to the UK, yeah. So anyway, we took our kids out for 3 weeks. We had 1 week in sunny Wellington. We had 1 week in Cape Town, and then we had a family holiday up in East London. And my 12-year-old and 7-year-old, they're coming 13 and 8. Anyway, Megan and Phoebe, they went with us. And over the 3 weeks, we stayed in three different homes. We traveled in many different cars. We ate in a multitude of restaurants. We visited many beautiful places. We even got a bit of shopping in. And can I tell you, never once did my kids show the slightest concern their needs wouldn't be provided for. I mean, I've got my passport here, actually. I've got, you know, the passports, tickets, connections. Who's picking us up? When are they picking us up? I'm the one that's stressing because I'm the father. It's my job. You know, but get to Cape Town Airport, 6 o'clock in the morning, do fly to East London. Phoebe says, have a wimpy. Okay, you know, I'm thinking, it's 16 minutes before the flight leaves. But she just, she's... She's totally, not one stress. You know what it's like? Even when I go to Gatwick this afternoon to fly to the Isle of Man, I'll be stressing it. You know. But my children didn't have a single. You know, thankfully, like the rand, pound of the rand, 23 rand of the pound, ka-ching, you know. T-bone steak and chips, £5. So we ate out a lot. You know, but regardless, every time we ate, they never once, you know, I'm sitting thinking, you know, where's my bank account at the moment? I'm sitting thinking, oh, I'm reflecting in all these because that's dad's job. But never once did my children sweat at an airport, sweat at airport security, wonder where the money was coming to pay for. Because of their relationship and their confidence, secure in their father, rather than scared about their needs being met. Now, if you're battling today with security, if you're afraid that your needs will be met, you know, Paul could say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches were in glory. Yeah. If, when times are challenging, I mean, times can be challenging health-wise. I've had a very challenging health time. This is since the 21st of December, this is the first I felt well. I've lost whatever it is, a stone nap. You know, so when health challenges come, when family challenges come, when financial challenges come, when work challenges come, when ministry challenges come, is your default to run for the duvet? Is your default to throw in the towel? Is your default, that makes me feel better? Whereas God says, why don't you come to me as Father? You see, Satan wants us to live this orphan life spiritually. And some of us have had good fathers, not perfect. Others of us have had broken fathers. And what we do is we look at our earthly father and we apply that lens to God. And as we respond in a few moments and pray and raise our hands and ask God to, you know, fill us afresh with his Spirit, we want to start looking at our heavenly Father through a different lens, don't we? So we're no longer scared, you know, living with this poverty mentality. I mean, Christian TV, don't watch it. But, I mean, I don't think the Gospels talk about prosperity in the way Christian TV talks about it, or poverty, but the Gospels talk about provision. It's not a prosperity gospel, and it's not a poverty gospel, but it is a provision gospel. And so every day we ask, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father. But I just sense in the life of the church it needs to be a reconnection. God is the forgotten Father. We're using, too many of us are using the broken lenses of a broken earthly father to look at our heavenly Father. And then we respond to situations based on how good or bad they were. That makes sense? And then lastly, as we develop our relationship with the Father and the Father, and we start to grasp the Father heart of God for us, we realize that, you know what? I'm already positioned for blessing rather than having to perform for him. Because spiritual orphans often feel rejected. When, you know, I've been in orphanages in Egypt, I've been in orphanages in South Africa, various parts of the world, and, you know, they're lovely, the kids, but like they want, you know, they just want to perform for you. You know, give me some attention. Hey, pick me. Because they have no father in their life, they have no parent in their life. And so if we are suffering from this orphan spirit spiritually, often there's a constant desire to perform. You know, if I perform, if I try harder, you know, God's going to love me. We flog ourselves. When we have this performance mentality, we often judge the performance of others. Or maybe we have feelings of mistrust towards others. Whereas sons and daughters, we know we're operating under the blessing of God. And we extend God's grace to others when they fall. Because we know that we live in a position of the fullness of God's grace over our lives. I love this verse in Ephesians 1:3. It should be on the slide. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Our Father in heaven. That's why we need to connect with, you know, that's why we need to connect with the Father to see the release of those. I remember Nicky Gumbel telling the story about obviously Alpha Course and part of the staff at HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton. And because, I mean, we obviously saw the great work of the night shelter. It was so good seeing CLC in the building there in the center being used on Friday night for the night shelter. Steve and I popped by, and the homeless guys were ready, waiting to get in. And thank you for cooking the potatoes, yeah, as well. Isn't that right? Yeah. Potatoes were done. They all got a meal as well. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, and so Nicky Gumbel, I didn't realize there was so much homelessness. Like, we went down the main street by Costa and guys lying in the doorways and stuff like that. But in London, obviously, it's a lot more noticeable. And in and around HTB, they minister to a lot of homeless people. And he tells a story about this bag lady. Do you know what a bag lady is? You know, like somebody with a shopping trolley or just kind of, that's how they live. This bag lady dies, and they do a lot of funerals for homeless people. And normally when a homeless person has the funeral service, it's like 10, 15, 20 people. But he couldn't believe it. Like, there was a couple of hundred people. Like, people have flown in from all over the world. And they kind of, what is going on? This bag lady, you know. But what he discovered after the funeral, after talking to one of the people, was that this woman was actually a multimillionaire. But for whatever reason in her brokenness, she just lived as a bag lady. And all these people were coming as like vultures from all over the world, hoping that they would get maybe a little bit of her inheritance. I mean, she had all the money that everybody else in the world wanted, but she herself had nothing to live for. I mean, she was comfortable in the garbage bags. And sometimes that's how we can live. I mean, we're positioned every blessing, but because of our brokenness, because of our fallenness, because of this orphan spirit in our lives, because we've been disconnected with the Heavenly Father, We'll live in guilt. We'll live in regret. We'll live in, I'm never going to accomplish anything in life. We'll live with, this is the way it's always going to be. We'll live with all of that brokenness, rather than through the Father appropriating every blessing that there is in heaven for us. You see, you and I are already seated. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so it's through the Father that those things are released in our lives. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems. I've had a month of problems just breaking through now. But it does mean that the blessings flow. And God gives us grace in every situation. When it's miserable, God gives us grace. And when the sun's shining, God gives us grace. So instead of wallowing, or instead of seeking to perform, we need to come as confident sons and daughters to our Father, not demanding. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah. He supplies our needs, not our greeds, right? You know. But delighting and being confident in his goodness. That's how he wants us to live. You know, that he's a good Father, that he has good plans for us, that he loves us, that like with Adam and Eve, he wants to walk with us, he wants to talk with us. And it's by cultivating that relationship that we'll move from brokenness to actually wholeness in him. As we conclude now, you know, we don't have to live as orphans any longer. Although Satan's plan from the beginning has been to separate us from the Father, his plan today is to break something open in our lives, a fresh start, a fresh awareness that we can trust him, that he will be there, that he will be present, that he will keep his promises that maybe our earthly fathers didn't keep. Here's John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it might be today that you haven't actually received him. And that's what you need to do today. You need to receive God as Father. How do we receive God as Father? Jesus made it easy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the great news of the gospel. And then for those of us who have, I think just we find in our churches, for those of us who have received Christ, some of us just aren't accessing the Father. And actually, I think some of that is because we're not dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because we access the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul says in Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Maybe Danny can come back for us here. Are you a believer here today? I'm just going to ask you, maybe in these next few moments, why don't you, in a new way, open yourself to the Holy Spirit? We're just going to take a few moments just to allow God to minister. We're in good time, Steve, aren't we? Is that correct, right? I'm in good time. So why don't we allow the Holy Spirit just for a few minutes to minister to us as believers? And then if you're not a believer here today, if you haven't come to the Father through the Son, I'll give you an opportunity to respond to the Father through the Son. And that's when we place our faith in what Jesus did on the cross and we turn from our sin and we follow him. Can we just take a few minutes? Do you want to stand with me? You know, I have a little, my youngest daughter is Phoebe. She's age 7. And here, do you know what she does? It is a bit annoying, but it's good. She just comes up to me and does this. Just my. And what do you think I have to do? What? I have to pick her up. You know, I think that's what the Bible says about lifting holy hands. And I think, you know, the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So we actually have to initiate something. I was reading about Abraham and Sarah. He's at his tent. The two angels and the angel of the Lord are going to go by to Sodom and Gomorrah in the heat of the day. And they're going to go past. He initiates something. Oh, do you want to... come this way. In the boat, the disciples are in the boat, and it's as if Jesus is going to go past them, and they had to initiate something. And so that's how to encourage us today, that we would actually ask the Father to pour out his Holy Spirit and to release something in us. And then we'll just take a few minutes, and then just maybe we might want to lay hands on people that are really saying, yeah, I actually need a substantial breakthrough. That was good, but I actually need something special. We just have every head bowed and eyes closed just as we conclude today. I just wonder, is there anyone, as we have every head bowed and every eye closed, and you don't know God as Father and you haven't come for forgiveness of sins through the Son? You know, if that's you, you know, I'd love to just pray for you. We'd all pray a prayer, but I just want to take a moment. I always do this just to give an opportunity. If that's you, why don't you raise a hand boldly? If it is you, just as we conclude, say, today I want to make God my Father. Is there anyone here today? Just take a moment. Okay. Just going to take a moment. I don't know God as Father yet, but I would today, Jonathan. Help me. Okay. Well, let me just pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you that by your Holy Spirit you can call us, or we can call you Abba, Father. And we thank you that we rest in your blessing. We rest in your blessing. We walk in your favor. We walk in your love. Thank you that you first loved us. Thank you for Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you filled us afresh today. And the lines to the Father are more perfectly connected. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Steve?